Well, I'm thankful to be here again this morning and see each one that is here. Trust that everyone is challenged and encouraged to live for the Lord, for that is the most important thing that we can live for in life. This morning is to live for the Lord, to have Him first, to give Him our lives, to experience His presence. There isn't anything greater than that. I have a burden this morning that I feel like I've carried this week. I feel like I've had a heavy burden this week along these lines. I've written on the board, live to be found in peace. And that's the burden and thought that I have this morning. I'd like to start in the last chapter of the second book of Peter. This was the last recorded words that we have here that have been attributed to Peter. 2 Peter 3 and 1, and we'll read a little bit here, and I ask for your attention as we read through these verses. It says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." And I just want to say, I want to break right there for a second and remind us, even back in Peter's time, I feel like Peter had the same sense of urgency that sometimes we have today. Many years have passed since Peter wrote these words. And many years had passed from the time the holy prophets were there to the time where he wrote these words. And he was referring back and asking them, Remember the words which were spoken by the ones before. That your minds be stirred up, that you pay attention to it, because they're right and they have relevance to our life today. And now years have passed since Peter has written these words. And yet the same words of the gospel, the same words of the prophets are still there today. They're still in effect. They still, if we would listen to them, if we would take heed, if we would hearken, today they are still words of life. And Peter had that he wanted to remind them of, and I want to do that again this morning. He said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." And the 17th verse, he said, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen."
Amen.
This is just one of the many, and I'll call this a poignant summary, of the reality of the Lord's mercy. The reality of the Lord's coming. The certainty of His coming. The certainty of His judgment. And the need for all of us to be ready. The need that for us to live our lives that we can be found, as the Scripture says here, without spot and blameless. And my desire this morning is that we would not be at ease in Zion. Sister Virginia and Max and I were talking a little bit about this yesterday. May God help us not to be at ease in Zion. Let us not become lackadaisical in our Christian life. No, Lord. Let us be diligent, as the Scripture says here, and Peter said, to be stirred up in our minds. Because I want to say this morning that the race is underway. The race of your life is underway. The clock is ticking. I remember when I was a young boy in grade school, where some of the schools would gather together and they would race, and you'd wait for them to hear, you know, when it was your time to run. And there were so many distractions all around, and there was concession stands and friends people would talk to. It was out at the park. But then when it was your time to run, you had to be in your place. And when the gun went off, you needed to be running. And until the gun went off, there was just kind of a, well, it's not my time. And you could talk, and you could eat, and you could watch, and the pressure was off. But when it was your turn, it was time to forget about all the food, your friends, and it was time to focus on the race that was at hand. And I want to tell you this morning, your race is underway. It's our turn.
Yes.
We have been called. The signal has been given. And every person that is in here this morning, you are running. And if you're not running, we ought to be running. Because we are alive. This is our time. And we are quickly moving to the finish line of this life. And it's so short. This life is so short. And the afterlife is so long. So many times we talk about that this life, it is just a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. I knew this morning that there was going to be some older ones here. Sister Virginia and Max and Genevieve, and I'm not trying to just name you out of folks. You're getting, many of you that are here this morning, you're getting in the latter years of your life, Brother Virgil. You all are, you've passed 80. There's not a lot of years left, but I want to tell you something. You haven't even begun yet. You haven't even begun. This life is fleeting in terms of this world. You've lived a lot of years. But in comparison to what is before you, it's just a fleeting hair's breadth. It'll be gone. And yet the consequences of how we run and how you run in this little life are going to make such an eternal difference. And we don't have time to be distracted with the concessions and with the distractions. Our race is at hand. We are running. It's our time. The clock is ticking. May we be stirred up in our minds today.
Amen.
May we be diligent, as the Scripture here says. I remember different times at work. I have worked quite a few years in a chemical manufacturing plant. And every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while we would do what we would call unannounced mill evacuations. And we wouldn't tell the plant what was going on. And on a given day, we would come in. And at a particular time of the day, we'd hit the alarm. And that alarm was a signal that no matter what you were doing, no matter what work you thought was important at the time, that when that alarm came off, that was the signal that you were to drop everything you were doing and you had to come, no matter what you were involved with, it was time to come and be accounted for. And I have thought, I don't know how many times, going into those, knowing that this was going to take place, and looking out and knowing that all of the people in the plant had absolutely no idea that today was the day. It wasn't like we did this every week or every month, maybe once a year. And yet they'd come to work like it was every other day, having no idea that in the course of the day, when they were focused on what they thought they had in their minds, I'm going to start this work, I'm going to get done with it by this time, and here's kind of how my schedule is going to work out, having no idea that their day was going to be turned upside down with the mill evacuation. And have thought many times, it's going to be similar to that when the Lord comes back. May we be stirred up in our minds. He's going to come as a thief in the night. Paul said over in Thessalonians, he said, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." There is not a one of us here this morning that will escape the coming of the Lord. Everyone will be accounted for. Everyone will be found. And regardless of where we are, regardless of how important we feel like whatever it is that we're doing, there's going to come a time where it's going to all come to a halt. And it's going to be over with. And we're going to have to give an account. Did we respond properly? Are we where we are supposed to be? Did the Lord find us doing what it was that He called us to do? May God help us today that we would run to win this race.
Yes, amen.
This life is uncertain. This last week, as we've talked, we've thought about all the different people that we know, that things have happened, perhaps some of them unexpectedly. Others being notified, your time is short. You don't have very much time left. What are all of the things worse that have gone on before that are going to come to be nothing? What did the scripture here talked about when the Lord came back, that the things that have been done in this day, all of the things that have been done in this earth, the works of it, they're going to pass away. The works that we feel like are so important sometimes, the things that we give so much attention to, the things that we put our hands to work on, they're going to go away, saints. They're not going to, the Lord isn't going to say, "Well, Rod, what is your bank account? How well did you do in your business? What does your house look like? How many friends? How popular? How well known? What kind of name did you make for yourself?" Those things are going to pass away. They're not going to mean anything in that day. And the reality is the Lord is coming back at a time of His choosing, not ours. I heard that 3 grandchildren went out of this world. It seemed like they had so much life left in their lives, you would think, by the natural course, but we don't know. We are not guaranteed. Paul said, "Know ye that they which run in a race run all." Remember when he said that? But how many received the prize? In his example, 1. "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but just one receives the prize?" Paul said, you run like that. Live your life like that. Live your life like you're the only one that's going to receive the prize. Live your life giving your all with a sense of urgency. That's how we live this life and run this race. Live that way. And I feel like so many times we're so distracted and we assume that there's going to be a tomorrow. I don't know that there's going to be a tomorrow. And if there is a tomorrow for you all, I don't know that there's going to be a tomorrow for me. People say, well, don't talk like that. I don't like to think about that. We need to think about that. The Lord doesn't want it to paralyze us. He wants us to live in peace with Him. I believe He wants us to enjoy this life. I believe that He has many things for us to enjoy this life. But as Solomon says, just remember that the Lord is going to come back and we're going to give an account for how we live this life. I want to live my life so that when the Lord comes back, I can be found in peace. I want to live with a sense of urgency this morning.
Yes.
How are you running? I'm thankful that if we have trouble this morning, and that if we are weak, and that if we have failed, and that if we are not where the Lord wants us to be, I'm so thankful that the Lord is looking down with an outstretched hand, yes, saying, let me help. Let me help you with this race. I believe sometimes folks get to the end of the way and they know they're closing on the end of their lives. I think about the thief on the cross. And many of them may think, I'm not worthy to be saved. I've lived my whole life and I haven't lived like I should. And who am I now when I've lived like I wanted to live and now right before I die, I want forgiveness? Listen, the Lord is in the business of forgiving and have paid the price. We cannot earn our way into heaven regardless of the number of years that we live for the Lord. While there is life, there is hope. And the Lord has an outstretched hand to every one of us that are here today, asking us, bidding us to come, accept the gift of salvation that He has offered. That thief on the cross, he could do no works in this life to demonstrate to the Lord that He loved him except for yielding his heart to Him and accepting the gift that the Lord gave. That is the God that I serve and that is the Lord that I present to you this morning. Let's live for Him. Let's reach out to Him. I remember an account of the concentration camps when the Germans would put some people, I assume it's true, it sounds true, would put people together at different times and have them run in the center of the camp. And they'd watch to see who were the weak ones, who were the sick ones, who couldn't make it. And they'd take them out and get rid of them. And I remember the account of a particular man who was running laps around those people in the center. I mean, he was running. And he was passing them all. Why? He wanted to demonstrate he still had life. He wanted to demonstrate with a sense of urgency that he wasn't one of the ones that couldn't go. Well, I want to tell you this morning, we don't serve a God who is looking down to find the weak, to separate us out, to get rid of us. The Lord is looking for those that have a willing and an obedient heart. Those that are reaching out and saying, Lord, I need help. I need you. I want you. I'm desperate for you. But I want to also say He wants to see a sense of urgency in us too. Are we living so that when the Lord looks down and He sees us, can He look down and can He say, I see Jonathan and I see him running and I can tell and I see Rod over there. Well, Rod, it seems like he's a little lax today. It seems like he's really not had his heart into it. I don't want that to be the testimony of my life. I want the Lord, we talked about Job this morning. I want the Lord to be able to say, have you considered my servant Rod? Because of the way that I live. I want to live that way. I want to give myself so that there's no question in your minds or in the Lord's mind, where my allegiance is. Because I want to tell you all this morning, the finish line is coming. It's kind of like running a race where you don't know where the finish line is. If we were to run a race, go out there and somebody said, your life is at stake, we're not going to tell you where the finish line is, but you better take off. How would you run? You need to run with diligence, with a sense of urgency, not knowing when the end is. I don't know when the end is, but I want to be found in peace. The scripture here in the 14th verse, it says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found without spot and blameless." Are we being diligent this morning? You know, the scripture talked here also about the scoffers who are willingly ignorant. That's the word that it used here. Scoffers who are walking after their own lusts. And the fifth verse said, they are willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, and it began to tell what the word of the Lord was. Why are people willingly ignorant? Why don't people give their all? Why don't people sometimes dig in to the word of the Lord? There's different reasons. We have the parable of the sower who went out and sowed good seed, and there was a lot of different reasons why some people went where they did. Some, it was the cares of life choked it out. Some, they didn't quite understand what it meant in the beginning, and then the enemy came in and stole it away. There are different reasons, but you know, some people don't want to be held accountable to it. And I know I suspect I've told you this before, and I'll never forget it, but when I read willingly ignorant, I can't help but remember when the man that worked for me said in a group setting, we were out in the shop, and he kind of smiled, and I still remember the expression on his face. It was almost like he thought he was getting away with something. He said, well, I don't read the Bible like I should, because I know that if I do, I'll be held accountable for it. If I read it and I know what it says, then I'll be responsible for it. Willingly ignorant. And I told him, I said, you are being held responsible for it. You know it's there. And you are willingly, you're not reading it. He was in his mid-40s, and he's not with us anymore. He was taken out just a short time after that in a vehicle accident under the influence. Willingly ignorant. And yet he probably thought he had a lot of years left in his life. He sat right on the other side of my desk, and I talked to him. I talked with him about the Lord, the things. But he had other priorities. He had other things that he allowed to get in his life, even though he knew that there was a God that he was accountable to. Maybe he thought he had a lot of years left. 40s? It seemed like he should have a lot of years left. But his time came. His day came on a day where he had no idea. He got up in the morning and no doubt thought it was like any other day. How are you running today? Are we running with the sense of urgency that the Lord wants us to run with? I believe our message here, the last time we were here in Shreveport, we talked about the word of the Lord that went forth, the sound of the trumpet that was given. And what was the response? People said, well, we will not hearken. Why? Because Isaiah said they had turned unto their own ways. May we this morning be challenged, encouraged, with a sense of urgency, that we not give in to the temptation of becoming slack, that we not become at ease in Zion, that we not come to church on Sunday morning and just feel like, well, it's Sunday, it's that time of the week again, and we put our nicer clothes on and we come to church and we go through the form of it and we sing a few songs and go through our Bible lesson book and listen and try to make it through, and then we go out the door and we did our Sunday thing. May God help us to wake up. May God help us to realize this is a life or death issue. This is serious. This is real. This applies to you. Your race is underway. You can't avoid it. It's not within your decision rights to decide when you can stop the race and when you can go. It seems like some people, would like to just be able to stop the race and feel like they can and decide when they can take it up again. That is not given unto us to do that. May God help us run with a sense of urgency, looking for and hasting for a new heaven and a new earth. Listen to what He said in verse 12. He said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Is that real to you? Or is it just kind of Bible verbiage? You know, sometimes we read scriptures and it, if we're not careful, it just becomes, that sounds kind of like Bible verbiage. It's true, it's real, it's going to come to pass just like it says. May God help us look for the new heavens, look for the new earth. We are passing through. This world is not our home. This is not where we are going to spend our lives. We are here but for a little time. Is it real to you this morning? Do those words of truth burn in your heart, or is it just kind of a fog? It's true. It's real. May God help us to be awake to it. I want to be found in peace, without spot and blameless, like the Scripture here says. It's going to require us giving our all, giving our energy to it. Have you ever thought about what that means, without spot? Have you considered that? Without spot. You know, He could have said, I want to come back and I want to find you not wearing a certain color garment. I want it to be mostly. He said, I want to come back and I want to find you without spot. Did you know that you don't have to immerse yourself and jump into the middle of something to become spotted by it? You don't have to jump in the middle of the fire to be burned. The other day, Kyle had made a fire outside. And I like fires, particularly when it's cold outside, and I like going out there and standing around it. And I had my nice clothes on, and I went out there, and I knew I wanted to enjoy it, but I knew that if I got too close to it, there are sparks, there's things that can fly out of it where you're not expecting it. You get too close, you get burned. You don't have to stand in the middle of it. And it may even get you unawares and burn a little something in your pants or your shirt. And then later you find, oh my goodness, I got too close to the fire. This reached me. Well, I don't think that a spark hit me. I don't think that it did. But you know what? I went away that night and I had the smell of smoke on my clothes. And I thought about that a little while. How do we live our lives? Do we live so close to the fire of this world? Are those things that we're interested in, those things that are contrary to holiness and righteousness, or even the busyness of life, even those things that may be not categorized as sin, the cares of life, the interests that we have. We have a limited amount of time in our day. Do we live so close to all of the things that capture our mind and our attention and our eyes and our ears, that maybe we can say, well, I wasn't on fire. I didn't jump in the middle of it. I stayed away from it. But do we walk away with the smell of smoke? Do we walk away with maybe a spot, a little burn, or pieces and parts on us that if the Lord were to come back, He'd look at us and say, where have you been? And I might be able to say, well, Lord, I've been really careful. I mean, I really strongly analyzed whether or not this thing was sin. And I determined by the Scriptures that it wasn't technically sin. And all these things that, Lord, I did, I tried to make sure that you know, it wasn't just categorized as ungodly. And the things that I was involved with, Lord, I mean, I don't think anything was wrong with it. But would the Lord be able to say to us, yeah, but I smell the smoke of self. I smell the smoke of pleasures. I smell the smoke of of your interests above my own. I don't smell my cause. And there's little pieces on you that you got too close to it where you were affected. And maybe you didn't realize you were affected, but it's because you got closer than what you should have gotten. He said, I'm coming back for a people that is without spot and blameless. Can I live perfect? No. Can I present myself to Him in a way that if He looked over my life from beginning to end, that there was no unrighteousness found? No, that's why He came to save me, because I had unrighteousness. Because there are parts of me that need help. But I want to tell you what He is looking for. He is looking for a heart that is without spot. He is looking for a heart that is without blame. He's looking for an intent and an attitude and a desire where He can see that we, like Job, gave our lives to Him. And that when He showed us, Rod, you're getting too close to the fire. You're getting too close to those things that can hurt you. That I'm willing not to just say, well, I'm not in it. Well, I've made sure it's not technically sin. That I'm willing to say, Lord, I will eschew it. Isn't that what you said, Job? It said that he eschewed evil. What does that mean? Does eschew mean get as close as you can to it without being affected by it? But try to enjoy it as much as you can, the benefits, but just don't get too close to it? Eschew? Stay away from it. Put distance between yourself and it. Are there things in our lives today that we need to eschew? Are there things in our lives that we have allowed ourselves to get too close to? And maybe we're constantly telling ourselves, the enemy is a pro at this. I want to expose him. If we find ourselves continually battling in our minds with the thought, well, it's not sin. Well, it's not sin. Well, I don't think it's technically sin. Well, it ought to be okay. And it's just there. And it won't go away. Be careful. You might be too close to the fire. The Lord may be trying to send you a message. You need to get back. You need to put some distance between yourself. You're getting too busy. It might not be sin, but you have too much of your affection in that area. Or maybe you are getting close to sin. You're trying to enjoy the advantages of it, to serve the flesh, but somehow you've rationalized in your mind that it's okay. Saints, Peter was telling us here, beloved, seeing that ye know these things. That's what he was saying here. We've been taught this. You've been taught this. The word of the Lord is here for us. And he's saying, this is the truth. Seeing then that ye know these things, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness. May God help us not to do that. May God help us this morning to be steadfast. It's why Paul told Timothy, no man that warreth, what did he say? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. Are you a soldier for the Lord today? Or do you find yourself entangled? You find yourself just kind of wrapped up with all of the things of this world that pull us and entice us and are attractive to us. And so that one of these days, He may come and find us unawares. May God help us to be diligent, not to walk, not to stand, not to sit in the way of the scornful, in the way of the wicked, in the world. Don't walk by it. Don't get in it. What is He talking about? Giving your heart to those things? May God help us this morning to immerse ourselves in Him. May God help us to have our eyes of understanding open, to have a vision of the reality, of the fact that this life is passing. It's uncertain. It's a vapor that's here and it's going to be gone. And Peter, just like the prophets of old, and just like by the help of the Lord, I'm trying to do this morning is to stir up our minds and to wake us up and help us to recognize the fact. This is talking about us now today. You are running your race. And the Lord's going to come back at a time of His choosing, not mine. The good news is that He's willing to do everything He can to make our calling and election sure. The Lord is willing to pick us up and carry us along this race. The Lord is willing to forgive us of those places where we have erred, where we have sinned. The Lord is willing and faithful and just to forgive us of those things. He's willing to pick us up when we're weak. He's willing to carry us when we're tired. He's willing to direct us when we don't know which way to go. That's the loving God that we serve. But our responsibility this morning, saints, is that we have a sense of urgency, that we are awake, that we give ourselves to eschew evil, to make the Lord's cause our cause, that we may be found without spot and blameless. This morning, I want to live so that I can be found in peace. When the Lord comes back, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Pray for me. I want to be true.